And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. All right, so going into dipper number dos, all right, number two for my Meatloaf Monday. I'm calling it Roundup. I don't know if you guys saw the news, but y'all, what just happened this past weekend with regards to illegal immigration roundups is some serious next level stuff. So we had two instances that I'm going to be describing for you in great detail in a few minutes. One in Florida. In fact, one was Florida, and the other in Colorado. But I gotta lay some foundation here for a little bit. Like, for instance, let's just talk about illegal immigration for a minute, shall we? Because it's not like this is the kind of thing that can be ignored, unless you're a liberal. It's not like this kind of thing that you can't say, well, you know, it's only impacting the masses. Remember what happened the other day with, you may have seen this, JP, what happened the other day with Kristi Noem, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem got her purse stolen at a restaurant?
Yeah.
Do you see the news about how they found the guy? Or they?
I know they did find him. I didn't hear the whole story, though.
He's an illegal alien?
Oh, go figure.
It says that he apparently had no idea who she was when he stole her purse. This has apparently happened more than once in restaurants around that area. He walks by the table. He sees the purse. He targets it. He drags it away with his foot, he catches a strap with his foot, drags it away, and then throws a coat over it real quick, and then runs out of the restaurant. That's what he did with hers. They got it on video. They saw him do it. His name is Mario Bustamante Leyva of Santiago. He's 49 years old. Was arrested. He was at an Easter outing. Oh, she was at an Easter outing with her family at the place called the Capital Burger. Bustamante Leyva is in the U.S. illegally and is believed to be part of a large East Coast robbery organization that does this throughout restaurants and other frequents, other haunts of people that carry expensive purses. Anyway, the bottom line is illegal immigration. Even the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security is the victim of crime by an illegal immigrant. I mean, come on.
Not very smart to do that to that person, especially.
No. I mean,
probably the worst person he could have done it to.
You look at it and think, wow, you really didn't plan that out very well. Mm-hmm. But and then you've got things happening in the law, or not in the law, if you will, regarding judges. Let's talk about some judges for a minute, shall we? So I don't know if you saw it or not, but a judge in Wisconsin named Hannah Dugan, we talked about her briefly last week. Judge Dugan is a knucklehead. Judge Dugan has completely lost sight of the idea that she's supposed to be apolitical and, oh, by the way, finding her way to the law with objectivity. So Judge Dugan has been arrested. The left is up in arms, but they really can't argue much. If you notice, the fight has been a little bit tepid. So Judge Dugan was in her courtroom. She had an illegal immigrant in front of her who was there basically to stand trial for additional crimes. ICE showed up. ICE showed up with a request to take him into federal custody. She was having none of it. She got mad at ICE and sent them down the hall to go see the presiding circuit court judge. They went out. She told them to wait in the lobby, which is where ICE was planning on detaining him because they had preemptive authority over the state court that she presided over, except that she snuck him out the back door. Every courtroom has a means of access for the jury, right? You usually have a jury door. And she snuck that illegal alien and his attorney out through the back of her courtroom. She helped with this. She said, come with me. And she locked them in the jury room so that the ICE guys couldn't get her or get him. And I look at this thing, did she think she was going to get away with this? I mean, it's not hard, but now you've got Mexican national Eduardo Flores Ruiz, who is now also, oh, by the way, back in custody. And, oh, by the way, so is Judge Dugan. But just to go ahead and make it more fun, you've got another judge in Wisconsin who's just mad. She's mad that her friend got arrested. Judge Monica Isham made the announcement in an email to judges across the state. She says, guidance is now requested or I will refuse to hold court. Basically, what she's saying is, I'm boycotting my, I don't know, job? She's a judge. Y'all, the illegal immigration thing is rampant. But what I'm loving is the Trump administration has not even slowed down one bit. Phil Williams, tell you more about it when we get back. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. Goes from, like, Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains that we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now get to call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Roundup. Yeah, it is. Roundup. That's exactly right. Where are we right now with illegal immigration? Well, we're right now at a place where known gotaways under Donald Trump have dropped 96%. 96%. Let that sink in. There's an article on Fox today. I didn't pull it because it just came out like right before I came on the air. But the White House had a press conference today, and they had Tom Homan. I love Tom Homan. They had Tom Homan come in and speak for a few minutes to the press. And he said that he basically has worked for every president in the Customs and Border Patrol. He has worked for every president since Reagan. And that he is, in every case, he said, every president I've worked for the most part, did what they could to secure the border. He doesn't really have any beef with Obama. It wasn't as strong as he would have liked, but, you know, he doesn't have any beef with Clinton and then Bush. And then, of course, both Bushes. And then you've got Reagan. He said, in his words, he said, we're in the process of carrying out the largest deportation campaign in American history. After 4 years of being vilified by the Biden-Harris administration, our heroic ICE officers can finally do their jobs. And he also said that in all of his time of working for every president, he said, I have never been with a president like we have with Biden. He said, the first president in the history of this nation who came into office and unsecured the border on purpose. They're not playing. They're not saying a difference in policy. They're flat out saying, I've been here. I've seen what every president does. There is no way in the world you can tell me that our border was treated the way it was without it being intentional. He says, we now have 96% less people coming across the border. He said, with that being said, that means how many women are not being sexually assaulted by cartels? How many children are not dying making that journey? How many women and children aren't being sex trafficked in this country? How many known and suspected terrorists are not making it to our nation? Or how many pounds of fentanyl are not getting into the country to kill young Americans? What a great point. And I don't know if you saw it or not this morning. I posted it on my social media. This is like, talk about epic trolling. So as the press enters the White House for their daily affairs in the press pool, they have to walk up this, you know, this driveway area into the White House. And this morning, the driveway was lined on both sides by over 100, picture like a real estate sign you put in your yard. Mm-hmm. 100 signs with the mugshots of illegal alien criminals that have been arrested for deportation.
And their crimes on the bottom.
And their crimes. Yeah, it says exactly what they did. They'll have their, it says arrested as their mugshot and who they are and what they did.
Well, even worse,
100.
Did you see what MSNBC did in regards to this?
No.
What? When they told the story of it, they blurred out the pictures of the mugshots on
the
signs.
Goodness. Because that's sensitive information, and they have rights too. They're mugshots.
Unreal.
That's
imagine if this was the Biden administration and those were J6, you know.
Oh
signs.
Yeah.
They would be every single sign would get its own picture to be put up. But nope, it's illegal aliens who committed heinous crimes, and they got to blur them out. It's insane.
It's absolutely nuts. All right. Having said all that, having laid the foundation, you got liberal judges freaking out and getting arrested. Other liberal judges freaking out, refusing to hold court. You got things that are happening left and right that says that it's actually improving on the border. I will say this. I believe this. I believe this is exactly what we voted for. I don't know about you. This is what I voted for. I voted for the idea of doing mass deportations. I voted for the idea of putting Tren de Aragua and drug cartels in their place. Last year, I'm on the record on this show multiple times saying, I'm going to be happy if they put a Tomahawk cruise missile in the middle of a drug lab in Mexico. I'll be fine with that because they're killing Americans at record rates. What we're also seeing, by the way, is a major new level of collaborative effort between local, state, and federal where they're allowed to. Key point, where they're allowed to. I've got a story here from 1819 News. Let me bring it home for us. 1819 News, three Alabama sheriffs have now signed up for federal immigration enforcement programs after Trump's second term began. So Elmore County Sheriff Bill Franklin, Franklin County Sheriff Shannon Oliver, Henry County Sheriff Eric Blankenship, they all signed up for an ICE program in March. What that basically is the ICE 287G program. I'm going to tell you why that's important in a minute. The ICE 287G program is where local officials, local law enforcement, is able to sign up to basically be deputized to work collaboratively with federal government on enforcement of immigration laws. So I think it was passed in 1996. Yeah. The 287G is basically, like I said, a deputization, and we now have three counties in Alabama that have already said, we're in. I'll tell you right now, the county that I live in, Etowah County, has gone one step further. We have a jail in Etowah County that is renowned for, it was built for ICE. It's a huge facility. 7-story tall jail facility in the middle of downtown Gadsden. The bulk of that was built for ICE prisoners. We had an ICE contract for years here. Under the Biden administration, the ICE contract went away. The ICE contract is back. And I'm hoping what that means is good things. Etowah County Sheriff's Office signed up for the jail enforcement model just, a year or so ago. They saw it coming. And we needed it. Now, in all of this, with local, state, and federal collaboratively working where they can, is it paying off? Well, let me just tell you. We had some things happen in the last couple of days that are just wow. First one you had was in Florida. I hold here in my calloused former paratrooper hands an article from Newsmax that came out yesterday. Operation Tidal Wave nets 800 Florida illegals in the first effort of its kind. 800. So listen, as a state senator, I used to occasionally go on drug roundups and serving warrants with my local drug task force. Just something I felt like I wanted to be able to do, to see what they went through and to go out there with them. And the task force would meet and we'd have interagency operation. You'd have different police forces would send in several more of their guys from each, community. And we'd go serving warrants, starting at like 4 a.m, knocking on doors, sometimes kicking in doors. It was a hoot. And they would serve warrants. Sometimes they'd arrest and detain. Sometimes they would just serve the warrant and tell them to appear. Other times they would find a dry hole. But the reality is that was at a local level. And that local level, we still had lots of collaborative work. We still had lots of effort put together. We still had lots of safety briefings. We still had lots of, where are they now? Here's the mapping. You take this sector. You take this sector. Here's your 5 warrants. Here's your 6 warrants. And then we'd all go out and, in teams to different locations. I cannot imagine what it took to do what Operation Tidal Wave just did. So, 4 days straight, ICE, working in conjunction with Florida's local law enforcement in a first-of-a-kind arrangement, arrested 800 illegal aliens. ICE Director Todd Lyons said the main reason why the operation was significant is because it's the first of its kind is because it's basically a surging of federal partners with Homeland Security and with the 287G partners in the state of Florida. So just like what you saw with those 287G partnerships in Alabama, Florida really went in it and had a bunch of counties that all jumped in and said, we'll do it. State troopers, local police officers, county sheriffs, they're our eyes and ears, said ICE Director Lyons. He said they've encountered these criminal aliens out and about during their regular duties and are able to go ahead now and identify those public safety threats for us. Among the 800, they also netted a convicted Colombian murderer, an alleged foreign gang member, alleged multiple alleged foreign gang members, including MS-13 and one Russian national named Sava Klishevsky, who reportedly has an Interpol red notice for vehicular manslaughter. 800. Y'all, this is huge.
Whenever I hear those numbers, like they got 800 of these, that has to mean that they've known where they are for quite some time.
Thank you. That was my next point.
Mm-hmm. And they obviously weren't allowed to do anything about it in the Biden administration because they got to get to that point.
When I get back from the next break, I'll tell you about the ones that they had to have known about for quite a while. In fact, we know they did. But this one right here, this one, just think about the scale of this. We would go out in a local county and serve warrants on roughly 50. They served no telling how many and arrested 800 on a statewide multi-agency local and federal operation. Y'all, that's a whole new day. State of Florida is now a safer place. And illegal aliens are probably flooding out of Florida in droves right now. All right, take me to a break, brother. I'm going to come right back from this break, and I'm going to tell you in that same vein what has happened in Colorado. And I've got the actual commentary from the DEA agent who was on the scene. Y'all, this is what we voted for. I'm telling you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I'm going to jump into the next part of this discussion about the roundup, right? So I just told you about Operation Tidal Wave. That was the name of it. Operation Tidal Wave swept across Florida and arrested 800 illegal aliens in one exercise. I mean, well, the name was perfect, Operation Tidal Wave. So, and by the way, yes, that is what we voted for. Yes, that is what we voted for. I'm going to jump into this next one in Colorado. Before I do that, though, I got somebody that hung on during the break. I believe they're on topic, so let me just see what they got. Mike from Harvest. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Senator Williams. And yourself, sir?
I'm good, man. What can I do for you?
Well, I would hope that you would be talking about the very bad day a bunch of first sergeants and captains are going to had today when they arrested something around 10 U.S. soldiers there who were working at that
party. I'm actually
that you're about to talk about.
That's where I'm going next. I haven't had a chance to even open up that topic yet, but yes, that's going to be an interesting dynamic in the whole thing.
Like I said, there were probably some very long faces that were about to discover what military justice is about. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man. I would. Stand by. I'll be talking about it here momentarily, okay?
Thank you very much, Senator Williams. You have a wonderful day, sir.
Thanks, Mike. You too. Appreciate you. Let's unpack what happened in Colorado. How much time do I have? Do I have time? I do.
About 5 minutes.
Yeah, good. Let's see what I can get done before we go to the top of the hour break. And I have to carry it over a little bit. I will. But you've got Operation Tidal Wave in Florida. At the same time, I mean, because they can walk and chew gum at the same time, right? You've got ICE and DEA out in Colorado. In Colorado Springs, we have a Colorado Springs, by the way, very close to Fort Carson, also the home of the Air Force Academy. So Colorado Springs, in what is called a underground or illegal nightclub, more than 100 illegal immigrants were detained in a massive raid at this underground club, a club frequented by Tren de Aragua and MS-13 gang members. A club that, when they got in there, the DEA says they had a multi-agency operation, arrested 114 illegals. The venue had, so the venue had a little more than 200 people. That means that over half of them were illegal. Think about it. Authorities there uncovered drugs, including what's being called pink cocaine. I'm not sure why it's pink cocaine, but the bottom line is some special kind of cocaine, as well as evidence of prostitution, multiple firearms. They've taken 100 illegal aliens into custody. Here's the thing. We had a report earlier today that says that the Department of Justice said they have been able to determine there were several hundred 911 calls about this nightclub during the Biden administration, and nothing was done about it. Not a thing. So they shut it down. Big raid last night. Drug dealers, murderers, other violent criminals, all shapes and sizes. And judges don't want to send them back to where they came from, Trump wrote. Well, that's true. But Attorney General Pam Bondi plotted the operation, which included 300 officials from multiple agencies, including the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and others. The interesting dynamic that our caller just talked about a moment ago was that apparently there were at least 10 active duty service members who were in the room or in the scene. A number of them were actually, a few were patrons apparently, and a number of them were actually paid security for this nightclub. So you got active, and by the way, it's not uncommon to find a guy delivering pizza in his off hours, driving for Uber on the weekends when he's on, you know, on pass. That happens. But you don't usually see them working in places frequented by, you know, drugs, illegal aliens, criminals, Tren de Aragua, MS-13, and being paid probably cash under the door with impunity. So I guarantee you, in the words of Mike from Harvest a moment ago, there's some first sergeants with some very long faces because they're doing some serious wall-to-wall counseling today. And there's some UCMJ coming down on some people for working in that club. That being said, I got an audio clip. Do I have time to play it? I got time. This is the senior DEA agent on the scene in the aftermath of the raid. Hear his comments. Go ahead.
Jonathan, give us some perspective here. 300 law enforcement officers. What brought about this kind of requirement, this kind of need to be here with that show of force?
So this is an underground illegal nightclub, okay? And what was happening inside was significant drug trafficking, prostitution, crimes of violence. We seized a number of guns in there. We had active duty service members who were running security at the club and involved in some of these crimes. And in fact, we had over 100 illegal aliens inside as well. And those over 100 illegal aliens were taken into custody by ICE.
Active duty service members helping as security here. Can you elaborate on that at all?
So it's an ongoing investigation, but we had over a dozen active duty service members in the club tonight, either as patrons or working as armed security.
Jonathan.
Wow. All right. So this has got multiple legs in the story. I think one of the most important pieces is that this is a major multi-agency operation. In basically within one 24-hour period, the Biden administration in just Florida and this one place in Colorado detained over 900 illegal aliens, many of whom were criminals. That's mind-blowing when you stop and think about it. Now, that's not even scratching the surface of the 11 million plus that are believed to be, you know, had run across the borders and into the United States just in the last few years of the Biden administration. But what we're seeing, though, is that there is a concerted effort. The court decisions, and here's what I would say to this, take heart, because these court decisions that are jamming things up are not stopping the Trump administration from continuing to do what it needs to do. That's an important thing for you to think about, that you are not watching the Trump administration sit back and go, well, you know, we tried. We're just never going to get there because they're just being mean and they're holding us back. No, that's not happening. In fact, if anything, they stepped up their game and they're going to, liberals are having to play catch up right now because they can't even begin to keep up with the level of work that this has never happened before, ever. Operation Tidal Wave, 800 of them arrested in one fell swoop. And then Tren de Aragua, MS-13 gang members just living the life in their big underground, you know, nightclub in Colorado Springs, being guarded by several members of active duty military. 114 of them taken into custody in one night. Y'all, it's a whole new day, and the illegal alien world is on notice. I got a little more on this when we get back. Text me, call me, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm going to put a lid on this topic about the roundup here in a minute by going back to the question of those judges. But before I do that, let me go to the guy who judges things on a regular basis. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is already on the phone. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm Well, so far I'm doing wonderful. I'm coming into the suburbs, heading north through Nashville.
So you're on the
so
north
far,
side?
So good.
On the north side subs?
I'm on the south side. I'm on the south side.
Okay. All
Only
right.
By the end of the program, I'll be on the north side.
Hopefully so, man. Well, what's on your mind? What do you think about all this stuff?
Well, speaking of these judges.
Yeah.
You know, what I want to know is how much corruption is there in this? Because you got this one female judge that this guy was in court and was in front of the victims and everything. So apparently she didn't charge him with anything.
Yeah.
And, being an illegal alien, I would think that would be a flight risk. You would want to hold him, you know?
Yeah.
So apparently he was let off scot-free because she likes illegal aliens, apparently.
Well, there's a story that broke just in the last, I'm looking at it right now. It broke in the last, like, 30, 45 minutes that says that someone posted a picture. That same judge had a sign on the door of her courtroom that said, if anyone feels unsafe by coming to this courtroom, interpret that as you will, unsafe as by coming to this courtroom, you can request to have your hearing done by Zoom. Meaning that way you could avoid having to be here physically and not have to worry about whether ICE is going to show up.
Wow, that's pretty nice, especially if you're going to get charged and put in jail immediately. Where are you at on this Zoom call, huh?
Yeah, it's exactly right. And you know, it's just clear indication this judge was thinking that she was above the law, she would take matters into her own hands, and she had a predisposition that you're not supposed to have when you sit on the bench.
Right. And then we got the other judge that was, harboring a, Trinidad Rogua?
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah, that and, judge down in Arizona?
Yeah, so he's in there and everything. And I think, was he a federal judge, I think? Or
No, he was a, local state judge, I believe. And he had
judge.
A Trinidad Rogua guy living in his pool house. And they were big buds.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm wondering. Did the cartels paying this guy off?
Who knows?
And, you know, you don't just harbor somebody like that just out of the blue, you know, hey, buddy, you know, I'm this judge and everything, and I know you're a criminal. Just come on, live with me. So that don't make sense either.
No, it really doesn't.
I'm thinking this. What I would like to see is go back to the records and see a lot of these judges and see how lenient they are. Or basically evading the law, statutory laws that are doing for these illegals that they wouldn't do for a normal citizen.
Yeah, here's the bottom line. If you're a judge, you're in the absence of a jury, you are the arbiter of both the facts and the law, and I get that. And I completely respect the bench. I'm an attorney, I do. But they also have to approach it without putting any of their preconceived notions or predispositions or you know, premeditated thoughts on this thing. Just literally, you've got to be objective. Otherwise, you're doing what the law calls abusing your discretion, and that will get you thrown off the bench.
Well, that sounds good, but apparently they're not throwing very many of them off the bench. That's the trouble, and that's my one number gripe is
just one.
You've got these. Well, this is the biggest is you've got these judges and everything that's doing these corrupt things and everything. But for the judges that are sitting on the bench right now, it's mostly silence. And if you don't speak up against the bad ones, to me, you are just as guilty as they are. Just like the if a policeman, you know, sees a bad cop do something bad, and you're the good cop and you do nothing about it, you know, the blame on you. And that's the way I see these things.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. On the one hand, I will say this though: judges are actually supposed to remain quiet about stuff. They're supposed to, by law, because otherwise it could be seen as something that could get them to be required to recuse later because they made a statement of any kind. So basically, if a judge gets out there right now, and here's the weird part of it, if a judge gets out there right now and says, I want Judge Dugan put back on the bench because I like illegal aliens, that judge can never try a case now of anything to do with someone who is an illegal alien. Because they're seen as having some sort of or if that matter, what the judge comes out and goes, I don't think that judge was in her right mind, and I wish she'd never done that because they're here illegally and that shouldn't happen. Well, then that judge still can't try a case. So what really has to happen is judges need to shut up and do their job. Just shut up and do their job. Like, you have one job.
But that's Yeah, but that's the trouble. They don't. Just like now, apparently they don't didn't apply to lawyers, because I know you'll call out a rogue lawyer in a heartbeat.
Well, see, we're supposed
and you're
to.
A lawyer.
We're supposed
just like
to.
I'm a,
but
well, that's good.
The judge is supposed to be the one with the blindfold on. In other words, if the judge had to see hear the whole case without being able to see it, they would still be able to decide the law, because the law is still the law. But it's a mess. But this Judge Dugan, she obviously was not fit for the office. There's no way in the world she can justify what she did.
How do we rectify that? How do we judge our judges if they, you can't speak out against them and...
Oh, no, you can speak out against them.
You can, well, another judge, the other judges can't, but it doesn't do me no good to speak out against them, because I don't have the power to take them off the bench.
You do. And here's the thing. It depends on the situation. If it's a federal district court judge, then certainly it's harder, because they've been appointed as opposed to elected. If they're elected, you've got to find good lawyers, people who are of knowledge and capability to run against them. You just got to. And then you're still going to wind up dealing with, is it a blue or a red area? Can you get somebody in the office who's going to do a good job? So a lot of judges are elected. Yeah. There's that. The other piece of this is every state has what's known as some version of, Alabama calls it a JIC, a Judicial Inquiry Commission. And that's the that's the accountability group for judges. That you basically have to, it's like a tribunal. You have to go stand before them if you are accused of abusing your position as a judge. And somebody needs to start making these reports and making it happen.
Yeah, that tribunal should be wore out by now if they was doing their job.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be my guess. But, it's just the way things are right now. But you talk about the election throwing judges off the bench. That'd be like trying to get rid of AOC in New York. She's going to have Chuckie Schumer's job before long. So you can't, stupid people do stupid things. And as long as stupid people are around, she'll be around, and so will these bad judges.
Listen, I had a situation. I'll just go ahead and say this. And I won't say what county. I'll just kind of leave it. But he's not on the bench anymore. But we had a judge in my home county, where I both practiced law and I was a state senator, right? And when I got elected to the state senate, I had tried cases in front of this judge. Everything was fine. But when I got elected, this guy was a partisan Democrat, and he wrote letters to me on his official judicial letterhead, telling me what ridiculous things we were doing as Republicans in Montgomery, and we were invading the province of sanity, and all these things. It got so bad I had to open a file in my office to keep the letters he was, because I knew that if I ever got assigned a case in his courtroom, I'd have to immediately ask him to recuse. But it finally got so bad that I called the actual presiding circuit court judge, and I said, I'm going to make you aware of something you might not be aware of. And I said, and it needs to stop, because my clients need to know that if I get a case in his courtroom, they're going to get a fair shake. Believe it or not, I quit getting any cases from that judge. And I was glad. But I thought I was going to have to report him. But he was literally violating the tenets of what he was supposed to be doing as a judge by being partisan and making it known in his official capacity.
Is he still on the bench?
He is not. He got voted out. Okay. Ha-ha!
That's a miracle.
There's a
yeah, but this is Alabama.
No, man, that was a blue county. We when I was the Republican chairman here in Etowah County, we flipped the entire county red. I was proud to be the chairman to watch it all happen, and we had great candidates, but we put people up in the right offices, and we had a guy, he came and sat in my office, and he said, I'm thinking about running. I said, you should, and he did, and he's now the judge, and he's a Republican. So,
that's good.
I got to go, brother. That be safe good. On the road, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, all right?
Have you a good one, Phil.
All right,
thank
buddy.
You.
See you. Bye. All right, let's take a break there. We'll come right back. I'm going to put a lid on this one and take some text messages. And then we got one more dipper for the day. And it's a hoot, man. It's an absolute hoot. Political Kabuki Theater. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. Pulling pins on truth grenades. That's where we are. That's right. Bulletproof influence. What else have I got?
I think that's all of them for now.
That's most of them. Truth bombs. We're dropping truth bombs and making common sense like a superpower. Okay.
There you go. I think we got them now.
I think we covered them all. All the bumper sticker slogans. All right. So several more of our Text line friends, John from Lexington, South Carolina says, I can't wait to read the post-IG write-ups on those military members performing security at the club. You would think that it was known and off limits. Yeah, you'd love to believe it. Now, they call it underground, so it's like, how do you, I don't know how they name it. I don't know. I have no idea, man. But if they find out that this was a known site, and what he's referring to there, by the way, is almost every military installation will have off-limits locales for off-duty hours. And they'll tell troops, you will not go to this club. You will not go to that place. You will not spend time on this street. And so these, and I've even seen like the blacklist, if you will, posted over the urinals in the bathrooms, you know, in the latrines. So you can't miss it. It's right there. Don't do it. And then what that sometimes does is it makes the troops want to go there more.
Exactly. There's probably some of them that it probably empowered them. But
this is a little different. They're being paid to work there.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder what they're being paid with, you know?
Exactly. And hopefully
cash under the table.
They weren't taking part in any of the legal activities. I mean, we don't know yet, but it's like that's a over a dozen military members. That's a good bit, I would say.
It's going to be something to watch. Roxanne from Harvest says, one way that ICE is finding the illegals by the phones the Biden administration gave them. I hope that's true. Just, that would be less poetic. Brian from Huntsville says, suggest a drive to get the judges disbarred for conduct unbecoming. Forget impeachment. Disbarment probably bears the larger scarlet letter and possibly easier to come by in the long run. Could work. I don't know what it, now they're state judges, so each state's going to have its criteria, its means, its methods. So I don't know, but you know what? I will say this: I doubt very seriously if she's convicted that she can maintain her status as a judge no matter what, because she'll probably lose her bar license too.
We also got a comment, by the way, on the YouTube kind of relating to this.
Yeah.
It says, why won't Congress impeach these judges? They take a vow to uphold the Constitution, and they are not doing that. Instead, claim President Trump is the one not holding the cops, upholding the Constitution. Impeach now.
Congress cannot impeach a state judge. That would be for their state laws, state legislatures to take care of. If it's a federal district court judge, you can't impeach them for simply ruling a way you don't like. You have to prove that they... the term is they're appointed for life or good cause. The good cause has to be something that proves that they were conducting an impeachable offense, which is going to be high crimes and misdemeanors. So basically what I'm trying to say is there's a due process piece. It does not mean you can't call them out. It does not mean you can't say that was jacked up. And it also does not mean you can't appeal it. So if they are taking bribes to render these decisions, if they are not recusing when they should have, and it's real obvious because you can look at their outside life, then I say yes, file a complaint. But at the same time, the Trump administration is doing a really, really good job of doing exactly what the system is designed to do and appealing these ridiculous orders at the federal court level.
But the left is trying to make this Hannah Dugan thing to be like, we just don't like her ruling. Trying to make it like how we react.
What ruling?
Exactly. Like with Boasberg, it was like, okay, well, that's inconvenient, but we'll beat him, you know, in the Supreme Court and we'll do it the right way. But this is not that. This is her actively hiding an illegal alien from ICE. Like there's no saying, we just don't like that judge and their ruling. They broke the law. Like I don't get where you have no ground to argue for that.
Yeah, she's not been charged with criminally ruling the wrong way.
No,
she's been charged with two counts of quote obstructing and impeding a proceeding before a department or agency of the United States and concealing an individual to prevent his discovery and arrest. She's basically harboring.
Yeah, which like 15 years ago, if that were to happen, it would be common sense on everybody, both sides of the aisle, to be like, yeah, that's that the judge shouldn't be doing that. But now the left has gone so berserk that they're defending this judge for doing that. It's like, are you thinking? Do you realize what they did?
I will say this, though. I don't feel like they're defending her really, really hard.
Yes.
I mean, there's some man on the street kind of stuff. And there's a little bit of the what I would call the more radical members of the media and elected official. But this is not like a well-concerted effort. The most that Schumer could say about it today was it was a clown show. Arresting her was part of a clown show. That's all you got? Unless I'm missing something, I don't think they're really trying real hard because they realize this is hard to defend.
Yeah.
Hugh from Huntsville says, do the bar associations have outsized influences on who it gets nominated for judgeships? No. They don't. I'm not saying that the Bar Association doesn't at some point weigh in, but for the most part, the Bar Associations do not weigh into races. You will see you will see the Bar Association get involved in legislative races, giving money to governor's candidates, and probably sometimes giving money to judicial candidates. But for the most part, the Bar Associations don't get out there and advocate for their members of the bench, in my experience anyway. Barry from Athens says, the Arizona judge who was harboring the illegal might have just thought the guy was cute. After all, the judge was a Democrat. That's possible. I don't know. He was living in his pool house. The whole thing is rather suspicious. John from Huntsville says, Phil, you are very knowledgeable. You are one very knowledgeable dude. Well, thank you. I don't know what I said that made you feel that way, but thank you very much. All right, we're gonna switch gears here after the break. We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about some political kabuki theater. Now, what you're seeing from Democrats right now, y'all, go ahead and use this phrase. If you haven't ever used it before, just grab it right now, kabuki theater. What is that? Well, there's an old phrase about, man, that's nothing but a bunch of kabuki theater. Well, there's an actual traditional form of Japanese theater known as kabuki, but it's known because it has elaborate costumes, dynamic acting, stylized performances, exaggerated movements and gestures. It's like over the top, right? So when you see Democrats right now trying to oppose Trump, what you're watching is a whole bunch of political kabuki theater. That's where we are. And it is a hoot to watch. I got examples and I got sound bites. In other words, I'm bringing receipts. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.